Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bova Kama Daf Samach Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. A brief note before we begin our actual shiur, and that is that today's shiur will appear to begin at the second line from the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. However, being that our shiurim are based on the daf yomi structure of learning, we should be at the beginning of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. However, we already covered that material as part of our shiur of Daf Samach Beis. The topic matter was such that we couldn't stop pause at any point until where we are now. So for Daf Yomi purists, if you want to begin at the beginning of Daf Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, so let us inform you that you will find the beginning of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph at the 57-minute, 24-second mark of Daf Samach Beis. I repeat, the 57-minute, 24-second mark of the Daf Samach Beis Gemara Markings Daf Yomi Shur represents the beginning of Daf Samach Gimel. However, as we indicated earlier, today's shiur begins here at the second line from the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis. On the side of the Gemara, we have a Nosei topic heading, which reads as follows: Hevdel Betainis HaShomer Legabi Kefel. A shomer, someone who is appointed to watch something. We're going to talk about a shomer chinom. He's watching something gratis. And as such, his level of obligation is such that if an item is lost or stolen from his possession, he is not responsible to compensate. He's obligated only in the case of a behavior that's negligent, irresponsible. But Geneva and Aveda, he is exempt. The Tanaic source that in which we open up our shiur today speaks of a shomer when asked where by the owner of the item, where is the entrusted article? And he responds, and you'll see we have a double underline in our text, either a Omar Le Ovad or Omar Lo Nignav. Those are what we call on under our Mivneh heading on the side, where the double underline appears. Those are Tainus HaShomer, the claims, the responses of the watchman, the guard, to the owner's desire to have his item returned. If a shomer claims one of these, that it was Ovad or Nignav, and it turns out that he is lying, he swears to back up his comment, and then witnesses testify that nothing of the sort happened. It didn't get lost or was stolen, but rather the shomer himself made off with it. What is the result? This phenomenon is called Toyin Tainus Ganov or Toyin Tainus Ovad. Does the shomer end up having to pay double? In our Tanaic source, we're going to see, well, it depends. This idea, by the way, of paying double, we've mentioned numerous times in the past. The classic case of paying double is a thief that stealthily comes into your domain and steals an item. If he is caught, he has to pay double. Here we have the shomer functioning in that capacity by his claiming a claim of innocence, and it turns out that he made off with it himself. Does it make a difference what his remark is. If he does it make a difference whether he says Ovad or Nignav? Now we turn to our text. Second line from the top, Tanan Hosom. It is taught over there, the following Tanaic source, Heichon Pikdoni. Owner of item says, where is my pikodon, the entrusted item? Omale, the shomer, the guard, responds, Ovad, it's lost. Mashbiochani, the owner says, well, I impose upon you an oath to that effect. The Omar Omein, and he confirms, yes, I bind myself by the oath that I'm telling the truth, that the item was lost. And here we emphasize the word Ovad, lost. And witnesses testify that he, the Shomer himself, consumed it. What penalty do we impose on him? Mishalim es hakeren, he has to pay back the principal. Hode alpi atzmo, if the Shomer himself confesses on his own, then Mishalim keren v'chomesh v'osham. He pays the keren, the principal. Chomesh is an additional fifth, and an osham. He has to bring a sacrifice for having sworn falsely. These halachas of osham gezelos, that's the guilt offering for having committed a type of theft. He took it himself. This is a result of your confession. Based on Psukim, and Rashi gives you more background to that. That's not, though, the focus of our discussion right now. Heichon Pikdoni, a second case, Omar Lo Nignav, and he responds it was stolen. Mashbiochani V'Omar Omein, and he confirms that through accepting the oath. For Edom Yoso, and witnesses testify, Shegonvo, that he made off with it himself. Mishalim Teshume Kefel. We dashed underline. This is the key word in this source, the kefel payment. When does kefel surface? When the shomer had claimed nignav, and it turns out that he himself made off with it. Hoide me'atzmo. If, however, he confesses on his own after having sworn falsely. Mishalim keren v'choymesh v'osham, like we saw before in the case of Hoide alat me'atzmo in the Ovad situation. Kotoni mihop. It, however, says in this source, b'toyin tainis ganov de mishalim tashlume kefel, avol b'toyin tainis Ovad lo mishalim tashlume kefel. Here, a very clear distinction is made between the Shomer that is Toein, that claims Gonav, where he does pay Kefel, in contrast to the Toein Tainis Ovad, where he does not pay Kefel. He doesn't pay the double. V'afilu, and a second point, V'afilu Toein Tainis Ganav, and even in the case of the Shomer claiming it was stolen, the appearance of Kefel came when? B'shvuahu de mishalim tishlumei kefel. That's only after he had sworn that it had been stolen, that he had sworn to back up his claim that it had been stolen. Aval shalo b'shvuah. If you didn't have him swearing, eino mishalim tishlumei kefel, there would be no kefel payment. Mino hanimili de tonu rabbanon. What is the basis of what we have just said? Now, structurally, you're going to see two Tanaic sources. They're labeled with Roman numerals 1, a little diamond around them, and Roman numeral number 2. These sources are very significant for the upcoming Dapim of Gemara. We have a topic heading on the side. It says the Nosei, Shomer Chinom Shinishba, an unpaid watchman that swore v'ton shenignav v'nimtza shu gonvo mishalim kefel, and it turns out after he swore that it was stolen, that he himself made off with it, he has to pay kefel. Under the mivneh, the structural note, we indicate there are two Roman numerals 1 and 2, shnei brises, two Tanaic sources, hadershus hapsukim in Shmois Perek Chof Beis, Psukim Vov and Zayin, Yesh Lutzayin. We emphasize that Psukim are, as we said, they're from Shmos Perek Chof Beis, Psukim Vov and Zayin. We highly recommend keeping those Psukim accessible textually. We included them on Daf Samach Beis Amid Beis, so you can always refer back to what's on the side of the Gemara over there. Our note continues, Yesh Litzayin, it's worth pointing out, Sheyesh Hemshich Hityachasut, there's a continued, we'll say, attention paid to these sources, additional discussion surrounding these sources, Lemakoros Elu, these sources, Gam Bedaf Samach Dalin Amid Beis. So that quite a way off, we're going to be coming back to these sources, or certainly referring to them. So I hope we can make things clear enough now that when we get there, you'll know what we're referring to. So as we turn to the Gemara, we notice source Roman numeral number 1. It says, and again, based on Shmois Perek Chof Beis, Pasuk Vov. The Pasuk that's quoted here says, Im Yimotze HaGanov. If you look at the Pasuk again, I think it's valuable that you should see it. Let's look at it together. Let's read the Pasuk in its entirety again. Pasuk Vov reads, Ki Yitain Ish El Re'ehu Kesef Oikelim Lishmor. When a person gives to his friend cash or vessels to watch, v'gunav mibeis ha'ish, Pasuk describes a theft from his house, im imotzei haganov, im yishalem shnayim. Here there's the, we call the level of Torah learning that's on the translation level. You come out with one thing, and then when we apply the oral tradition, the Chazal tradition of what the pasuk really means, you come out with something different. So the literal translation, imi motzei haganav, if the thief is found, then yishalim shnayim, double is paid. But when we turn to the Gemara and look at that expression, imi motzei haganav, and you're going to find that it's not referring to a thief per se, a standard thief, but rather it's referring to the shomer that claims it was stolen and he himself made off with it. In other words, he is the thief. That's Pasuk Vav. Pasuk Zayin, which will also be cited in this source, reads, let's continue with the verse itself. In Pasuk Zayin it says, Im lo yimotze haganov. Here the Pasuk is presented in the negative. If the ganov is not found, the nikrav bal habayas el hu aluhim, im lo shalach yodoi bimleches reyehu. The Pasuk makes reference to the involvement of the judge, which I don't want to be specific at this point. Later the Gemara deals with that phrase. Pasuk Ches, which we're not going to read right now, but at the end of Pasuk Ches, reference is made once again to the paying of Kefel, the double payment. This will be discussed quite thoroughly as we turn to the Gemara text. So without any further ado, we turn to the Tanaic source we call Roman numeral number 1. Im imotzei haganov. The Brisa tells us, betoyen tainas ganov hakosuf medaber. The Pasuk is describing a shomer that claims the item was stolen from him. Ata oimer betoyen tainas ganov ueno elo beganov atzmo. Are you sure that it's talking about a shomer that's toein, that claims the taina that it was stolen, or maybe it's talking about the thief himself, an actual thief? Well, Kisho Omer, in Pasuk Zayin, it says, Im lo yimotzei haganov. Havei Omer betoyen Tainus Ganov Hakosuv Medaber. So from the appearance of Pasuk Zion, we learn that it too is talking about Toyen Tainus Ganov. Now, if you think you're seeing double, you're not. It is actually saying that the two psukim are talking about Toein Tainas Ganav. Tanya Idoch, another source with the same psukim referred to. Im imotse haganav, beganav atzmo hakosuv medaber. Here you see a major difference. This source views Pasuk Vav as talking about the thief, an actual thief, not a shomer, an actual thief that when caught will pay double. You're saying it's talking about an actual thief. Maybe it's talking about a shomer that claims it was stolen. Well, kishuomer imlo yimotzei haganov. When you look at Pasuk Zion and you say Hare Toyin Tainus Ganav Amur, there the Torah deals with the Shomer that claims it was stolen and not really so, but he made off with it. So then what do I do with Pasuk Vav that says Im Yimotzei Haganav Beganav Atzmo Kosuv Medaber? That Pasuk is talking about the an actual thief. So according to approach was it source number Roman numeral number 2, the two psukim are talking about two different situations. The kule almo mihas, everyone agrees between these two sources there is agreement that posuk zayin imlo imotzei haganov betoyein tainis ganov ksiv, that is talking about the shomer, the guard that claims it was stolen. My mashma, how do you see in the words of Pasuk Zion that's what it's talking about? Omar Rava, so Rava explains, Im lo imotzei kemo she'omar, elo shehu atzmo gonvo yishalem shnayim. The expression Im lo imotzei haganav means if it does not turn out like he, the shomer, claimed that it was stolen from me, but rather he himself, the guard himself, the watchman himself, made off with it, he pays twice, yishalim shnayim, which is the expression that you find, by the way, at the end of Pasuk Ches. The Gemara asks, uminolon de bishvua, and how do you know the point that was made above, on the third wide line of the Gemara, and how do you know that the shomer is going to pay double only if he had sworn that it was stolen from him? I think we should look before we go further in the Gemara. Let us look at the Rashi commentary, just a couple lines down from here. Rashi Elohu Atzmo Gonvoy, the Shomer himself made off with it. V'nikrav Bala Bayis, the Posuk said that in Posuk Zion, V'nikrav Bala Bayis, Klomar, V'hu Kvar Nishba Badavar, Shalo Sholach Yodoy, he already had sworn, this guard or Shomer had already sworn that it was stolen from him, and that he had sworn that he didn't use the item for his own purposes. That's Shelo Sholach Yodo is from the Pasuk, where it said Im Lo Sholach Yodo Ben Lechsre. It means he didn't use it, he didn't take it himself. Maksiv Acharov, what does it say afterwards? And this afterwards is a reference to Pasuk Ches. It says Al Kol Dvar Pesha, etc. That's the beginning of the Pasuk, and at the end of the Pasuk it says Yishalem Shnayim. That's a quote from the Pasuk, a partial quote. The next Rashi, Umimai Dahaiva Nikrav Baal Habayis Lishvua Komar. How do you know that the phrase, Vinikrav Baal Habayis, which literally means, and the And the man in this context, it's a reference to the shomer that he draws unto the judges. How do you know that that is a reference to swearing? So now let's continue in the Gemara. Desanya v'nikra balabayas el hu Elohim. That expression means l'shvua. That was in Pasuk Zion. He draws unto the judges for the purpose of swearing. Ata oimer l'shvua oino elo l'din. You're saying it means for an oath. Maybe it means for l'din, means for carrying out the judgment that he has to pay. Nemar shlichus yad l'mato. You find in the next parsha in the Torah, it speaks there of a shomer socher, a paid watchman. There, the posuk says, and Rashi quotes the posuk. Let's look at the Rashi together, three lines before the end of the narrow lines. Shlichus yad l'mata b'shomer socher, in the Torah where it talks about shomer socher, the paid shomer, it says shvuas Hashem tiyeh bein shneim im lo shalach v'chulei. There, the posuk spells out the need for a shvua, and it does so together with the expression im lo shalach yodoi. So you see in the Torah the term shlichus yad. That's a paraphrase of im lo shalach yodoi b'mleches reu. That term you find lamata by shomer socher. We continue in the Gemara. V'nemar shlichus yad lamala. And it says shlichus yad lamala in the pasuk we read already. V'nikrav bala bayas elo lehim im lo shalach yodo. That's the pasuk that we want to find. We want to understand. Ma lahalon b'shvua, just like over there by the shomer socher, it says explicitly shvuas Hashem. So to afkan, so to hear in our pasuk Zion. Afkan l'shvua. So to hear it is a reference to his swearing and his acceptance of an oath upon himself. Of course, that shomer that was towing Tainas Ganav. The Gemara now looks at the two Tanaic sources we had and tries to understand the difference between them, and especially the issue of one of the sources we saw. Source number one seemed to say that two psukim, pasuk vav and pasuk zayin, were referring to toein tainas ganav. So let's continue in the Gemara. We did point out at the beginning of this Gemara, we pointed out that these sources would be again referred to in a discussion on the Daf Samach Dalid Omid Beis. So now we continue here. The house, you can see the house marking highlights the expression Bishlamo, which means things would work out well for, well, one of the sources. We'll see for source number two. There's a back and forth discussion. How does each one learn what the other one claims? And then, again, the house marking later, where a new line of discussion continues on these regarding these sources. So the Gemara says, Bishlamo lamanda omar, chad beganav v'chad betein tainis ganav. Source number two that said one pasuk was referring to the ganav himself, namely pasuk vav, the ganav, the thief himself has to pay double, and one pasuk is talking about the false shomer, shchinam, that eventually will have to pay double. Hainu dechsivi trei kroi. Therefore, we have to have two psukim. Each one is dealing with a different topic. One a simple, straightforward thief, and the other one the shomer that lied. Elo laman deomar trevayu v'toyin tainis ganav trei kroi lomali. Source number one that said both psukim are talking about the false swearing shomer. What do I need two psukim to tell me the same thing? Amri, so we answer, chad limute taines ovad. One of the psukim is really for the inference that you would draw. Namely, if a shomer is toein taines ganov and he's lying, he'll have to pay double. However, if a shomer chinom is toein tainis ovad, and it turns out that he's lying, he won't pay double. That's limute means to the idea of double in the case of shomrim is to the exclusion of where he will tainas ovad. We made mention of that above in our opening section of today's shiur. So we continue. Ulaman diomar chad beganav chad betoyin tainas ganav delomi aser. According to source number 2, where you don't have an extra pasuk, each pasuk was dealing with a separate point, the mute tainis ovad menolai, where will source number 2 learn the exclusion of tainis ovad from kefel? Answer, miganav haganav. The posuk used the word ganav, but introducing it with the letter hey. So the hey of the word ganav, haganav, that you can see that in the psukim. So that hey is viewed as, we'll say, an extra letter for us to reveal that Tainus Ovad is excluded. Only a Taina of Gonav will help, not Ovad. Will help, meaning to bring him to paying Kefel. Ulaman Diomar Travayu Betoyen Tainus Ganav, the source number 1 that you said both psukim were Toyen Tainus Ganav. The extra pasuk, the seemingly repeat pasuk, was there really for the inference that kefel is by a tainas ganav and not tainas ovad. Ganav ha ganav my dorish bay. What would source number 1 do with the hey? Omar loch. Now here we have a long answer. Omar loch mi boyale lich ribchia barabom Rav Yochanan. We need it for Rav Chiya's teaching. The Omar Chiya Baraba Omar Rav Yochanan. Hatoyin tainis ganav bebikodon mishalim tashlume kefel. The shomer who made that false claim will end up paying kefel. Tavachu mocher mishalim tashlume arba v'chamisha. And if the shomer himself slaughtered or stole the entrusted animal, he'll end up having to pay the requisite 4 or 5 times the value. That is a topic, this point of 4 and 5 we've discussed in recent shurim. The Torah speaks of that in the standard case of the thief himself. After stealing an animal, he then slaughters it, or he then sells it. So he would have to pay 4 or 5 times its original value. The chiddush of the hay in this discussion, the chiddush of the hay, according to source number 1, would be to reveal that the shomer himself, who makes the false claim of gonav, who happened to slaughter it, will also have to pay 4 or 5. Ulaman di omar chad beganav chad betoyin tainas ganav. Source number 2 that said the two psukim were dealing with separate topics. Here the Gemara is constantly repeating what each source was doing. So you make no mistake. So that according to source number 2, we had said one pasuk was dealing with the ganav and the other pasuk dealing with toyintainas ganav. The high ganav, ha ganav, the hay, he already used up. Afke, he derived from it limute tainas ovad. We have a little arrow. You can see a few lines up where that was stated. The hay had it was already used for excluding tainas ovad. The Reb Chiya Bar Abba Menole, where will source number 2 learn Reb Chiya Bar Abba's teaching that Dalet Vehei has relevance to a shomer as well? Omar Loch, he will answer that Hekesha Hu. The Torah, through proximity, remember, source number 2 said that one pasuk was talking about an actual ganav and the other pasuk talking about the shomer that swore falsely. And we know from other psukim that an actual ganav, if he slaughters or sells the item he stole, pays 4 or 5. That we know about a ganav. And in our psukim, ganav is compared to tayin tainis ganav, or I should say more accurately, tayin tainis ganav is compared to ganav. That's called a hekish. And v'ein mishivin al hekesha, and we don't try to undo, we won't question a Hekesh, even if there is room for questioning. And Rashi says there is room for questioning. And he points out that a Ganav is Chayev Kefel even without any oaths involved. A Tayin Tayin is Ganav, a Shomer, he ends up paying the Kefel only if he swore. So they're not similar. You can't really compare them logically. However, we have a rule: Ein Meshivin Al Hekesho. We don't ask questions when the Torah puts the two topics together. You accept them. And by the way, this is something that the oral tradition has to tell you. Not every two psukim that are next to each other means you compare the topics. It's dependent on an oral tradition. And here, the oral tradition says that these topics of Tayin Tayin Es Ganav and Ganav are to be compared. So that from the Hekesh I would derive, according to source number 2, the halacha of Reb Chiya Bar Abba, the 4 or 5 payment for the Shomer as well. Bishlamo Laman de Omar Chad Beganav Chad Betoyin Tainez Ganav Shapir. According to source number 2, things are smooth running, namely that a Ganav as well pays kefel, I see from the Pasuk Vav. Ela Laman de Omar, source number 1 that said Travaya Betoyin Tainez Ganav, Ganav Atzmo Minole, a ganav, a straightforward thief, a common thief, where will I know that he will pay kefil on any, let's say, portable that he happens to sell that has inherent value? That's called metalte v'gufo mamon. From where would I know the ganav himself? Now, the basis of this question is it's a question with a lot of background to it. Now, look, there is another pasuk in the Torah that speaks about a thief, and it speaks there. But the pasuk speaks about a thief stealing an animal. Here, what we want to know is, where do you know that a thief will pay double for, not beyond animals, any portable that has inherent value? That if he's caught, he pays double. From where do I know that? The Chi Tamar, the Gemara goes on and says, Leisi b'kavachomer mitoyin tainez ganav. Well, make a kavachomer. Use kavachomer logic. If a shomer who received the item initially through legitimate means, he was asked to watch the item, if he eventually can come to a position of paying double, then a thief whose initial contact with the item was through illegal means, namely theft, all the more so he should have to pay the double. So if you are going to come to your conclusion regarding Ganav, an actual thief, from the topic of Toyin Tainez Ganav, it's not going to be effective. Why? Why is that? What's the problem with that logic? The problem is that when you have something derived from a source through Kal Vachomer, the derived point cannot be any more extreme than the original source. And that, in one word, is called Dayo. Dayo literally means it is enough for it to be. And now let's continue in the Gemara text. Dayo labo min adin, it's enough for that which is derived through din, means Kal Vachomer logic. Lios kanidon, that which is derived should be lios kanidon, like the original source. What's the source of ganav in this case? The case of Toyin Tainez Ganav, the shomer. Ah, mala alon b'shvua, avkan b'shvua. Are you going to say that just like in the case of Toyin Tainez Ganav, he comes to paying double only after he had sworn, and then he was shown to have sworn falsely? Are you going to say the same thing with a common thief? That a common thief will pay double only if there's an oath taken? And we want to know, what about a common thief paying double even without any oaths? So where will source number 1, who spoke of both Psukim Vav and Zion, is referring to the shomer that swore falsely, where do we learn about a common thief paying double simply for having stolen without any necessity of a false oath in the picture? The Gemara answers, source number one, who said both psukim were talking about the shomer who's tainis ganav, nafkale, source number one will learn out your straightforward thief, midetona debe chizkia, from the source, the Tanaic source, from the yeshiva of Chizkia. Rashi points out that this Tana be Chizkia, he expands upon a pasuk found in Shmos Perichov Gimel, pasuk Gimel. And here, we've included it in our margin. Let's read the pasuk first. It says, Im hi motzei ti motzei biyodoi hagneva, mishor ad chamor ad se, chayim yishnayim yishalem. So it talks about if a stolen item is found in his possession, a couple of examples, an ox, a donkey, a sheep. So Shnayim Shem twice is paid. So there you have a pasuk that looks innocent enough, that is referring to a thief that has a stolen item. He pays double. I say this with very great reservation, the innocent-looking pasuk. There is a tremendous amount of discussion surrounding this pasuk. And before we get into the drasha itself, let us take a look at Rashi. The Rashi, six lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. We said that source number one will learn the laws of a straightforward thief paying double. He expounds upon a different verse, the Mishtoi began of Atzmo, a reference to Shmois Chof Beis Posuk Gimel, which speaks about an actual thief. It says, Im hi motzei ti motzei biyodo hagneva, v'chulei, v'hai denokat rosha, v'lonokat kro, the fact that we're using the expression drosha. Drosha has to do with the oral tradition, expounding upon the pasuk. And we're not saying that the pasuk itself teaches me this. Mishum, the mikra, from the pasuk itself, to derive that a thief pays double, lo nafkalon behedya elo bale chayim. The superficial pasuk, the pasuk on its own speaks about animals. Kedektiv, the pasuk says, Mishor v'ad chamor ad se chayim. Ah, umidrasha, from the oral tradition, from the rabbinic tradition on what the rabbis had the keys from the Almighty God in how to understand the written Torah. It's the written Torah, and we've mentioned this theme numerous times throughout our Gemara markings, Daf Yomi Shurim, and the reason is because it's so central to Judaism, it's so central to the life breath of Judaism, the recognition that the Bible, the verses, the written Torah is skeletal. It doesn't reveal much of what the Almighty God really expects of us. Without the keys that we call Torah Shebaal Peh, it's you're lost at the get-go. The Torah itself, many basically all the mitzvahs that are in the Torah, you wouldn't know how to fulfill any of them without the instruction manual that accompanies the written Torah, namely the oral tradition. And here we have another one of the 613 examples of that, the issue of thievery. The verse itself would say that a thief will pay double only if he steals an animal. How do we know to include other things? And that's what we've dashed underlined here in our marked Rashi, Umidrosha Marbelahu, Tana de Bechiski Lukulhu. The teaching from the Yeshiva of Chizkia involves including all items, all portable items that have inherent value. How do we do that, though? If we have Pasuk Gimel in Perek Chof Beis of Shmos, as we said, the pasuk itself deals with animals that are stolen. How do you know from there to include all items, all portable items, as we mentioned? Before we go further in the Gemara, we've included on the side a topic heading, and note, until this topic essentially lasts till Samach Dalet Amud Beis. We're going to break up the discussion when we get to the top of Daf Samach Dalet, once again because of our Daf Yomi context, but recognize that the drasha continues, the discussion continues quite a way beyond. So our note in the margin says Mokar Avor Hamanda Omar, number one, a source for the Brisa, number one, the Travayu, the Toyin Hizgana, source number one, said both Psukim Vov and Zion were talking about the Shomer that lied. So according to that source number one, where do I know the Ganav Atzmo Chayav Kefel Al Kol Dovar? The expression Kol Dovar is an expression that we took from the from Rashi, who says Likulhu. But we know that it's a reference to things that are portable and have inherent value beyond animals. Tchilas Hamalach, the beginning of the approach, Yeh Lidrosh B'Klalu Prat, to apply the Klalu Prat method of drosha, which we've discussed so much in our recent shiurim. For more background on that, of course, listen to our previous dapim if you're a first-time listener today. It's the approach called Klalu Prat will be the where you look at the pasuk structure, where you have a general expression followed by a specific expression, which right now I know we're going to change this later on, but in the meantime, that purports to enable us to include more than what is in the pasuk itself. So at the beginning of this malach, of this process, will be to darshan b'chlalu prana pasuk b'shmois chav beis pasuk gimel im himotzei timotzei biyodo hageneva mishor, etc. We're going to be using several different shapes or geometric shapes and other marking schemes that we allude to under our mivneh, the structural note, hadgoshos. These are highlights, the marking highlights, kedei la'kov achar malach atana de bechizki, in order to make it easier to keep track of where we are at any given point. The triangle will be highlighting the word yomar. It's a word indicating a suggestion. Let the pasuk write just something, when in fact the pasuk writes more. Why was that necessary? So the word yomar, if you skim ahead, and we always encourage you to look ahead in the source and you see how the triangles appear intermittently, and then after that you'll see a double underline that highlights the expression hoyis yomer. Had the pasuk said what we suggest, then I would have concluded thusly and thusly. And then the dashed underlining will highlight the expression kishehu omer, when in fact the pasuk says something additional. This structure, this cadence, will be repeated through the source. Now the Gemara. The key question that preoccupies the Gemara is once again, a standard thief, a ganav, pays kefel even without having sworn falsely, by the mere fact that he did that forbidden act of stealing stealthily, he will end up paying double. For what? Well, we hope to see for everything beyond just animals, even though the pasuk that we're darshaning speaks about stealing animals. How do we get to that? How do we get beyond animals? Now the Gemara. Yoimar shor ugneva v'kol b'chlal. Let the pasuk make reference to a shor, an ox, and it being stolen. And then if you had a pasuk structured like that, well, hakol b'chlal, everything would be included. I'm going to tell you now something that's going to be of critical importance later. So I'm jumping the gun a little bit here, but the source gives you the feeling that let the Pasuk have written just that. In other words, that this scriptural structure appears, but more than this appears, but that this does appear. But when you look at the Pasuk itself, and it's conveniently located right across in the margin, order of words is not like we see here. In fact, we see the word Geneva mentioned before Shor. Order in this section of Gemara is very important. So the right at the outset, this particular Tanaic source is difficult to understand. We have to play along. That's part of the we'll say the Talmudic experience. You got to play along, even though you might have this question bothering you, and we'll hold off on dealing with it till later on. But I'm just pointing out the difficulty at the outset. In the meantime, though, let the Pasuk have written just Shor, followed by Geneva, and then I would have said everything is included. Because when you have a Pasuk structured like that, which would be a prat and then a klal, you can include beyond, you have a right to include beyond the actual example. Well, Ilu kach hoisi omer, if the Pasuk would have said just Shor, just ox, I would have said, okay, I know I can include more things, but I wouldn't have lost sight of the example cited. Ma aprat, the prat is the specific example, namely the ox. Mefurash, korev legabi mizbeach. It's something that is obviously a type of animal that's fit to be offered as a sacrifice. And now, we also know that the Pasuk structure entitles me to include more things. All right. I'll come and include, by virtue of the Torah saying, sure, I'll include other things like shor that are suitable, that are eligible to be brought as sacrifices. Ma yesh l'chol avi, what would you have included? What other animal is fit to be brought as a sacrifice? Let us speak about a shor, not just an ox, but it's the entire, we'll say, cow family. Males, females, all the cows. Se is a term referring to light cattle, like sheep and goats. Those are the only animals that are fit to be brought as sacrifice. It's true that there are more kind of kosher animals around. A deer is kosher, but it's not fit as a sacrifice. So had the Torah written shor and left me on my own to include more things, I would include other things that are like shor than that they're fit for offering as sacrifices. So what would you have included? A set. You would have included on your own sheep and goats. However, we continue at the top of Daf Samach Dalet. Kishehu Oimer se, when the Torah spells out se, hare se amur. Well, then se is stated explicitly. So as far as inclusionary powers that the Pasuk supplies, it's not here to include se. Se is already stated explicitly. Including means things that are beyond that which is stated explicitly. Ha mo ani mekayem geneva. The word geneva represents the general expression, which is the basis of my being able to include more things. So what am I going to say now? Now that shor and se are stated, what am I going to include? Well, the rabbis called over. Isn't that what we're looking for? To include everything. All right. So let's go along. Next stage. Yomar shor se ugenevo. Vako bichlau. Let the Torah have written just those words, the shor and se and genevon. I would say everything is included. But that's not really so. Ilu kach hoisi omer. Had the Torah written shor, se, and geneva, I would have said, ma prat mefurash. Again, We don't lose sight of the examples. The examples of Shor and Seh, what do they have in common? They have Dovar HaKadosh B'Vechira. We can say about them that in addition to their being, let's just review what we said before. If I was using just this to include things that are fit for the Mizbeach, that is not what the inclusionary power is for. Because all the fit for Mizbeach creatures are stated explicitly. What do I gain by having inclusionary powers? Well, so I say like this. If I would have had Shor and Seh, I would have thought, what do they have in common? When they are firstborn, a firstborn cow, firstborn Seh, they have sanctity. So now, what am I going to include? I've called over HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll include other things that have that phenomenon of being when firstborn, they have sanctity. Ma'yesh l'chol avi. What else in the realm of animals has that characteristic? That when it's a firstborn, it has sanctity. Chamor, a donkey. So if I had just the words shor and chamor plus geneva, I would have included as being guilty in the case of theft a stolen donkey. Why? Because a stolen donkey has the characteristics of the stated examples, had those been the only stated examples, shor and seh. That's what we saw under the last triangle. Yomar, let the pasuk say just that. So what would the inclusionary power enable me to add? A donkey. However, kishuomer chamor, that's not a function of inclusionary power. That's stated explicitly. If you look back at Pasuk Chof Gimel, you see the word chamor stated explicitly. Hare chamor amur. So chamor has already been spelled out as something that would render guilt upon a thief. Ha mo ani mekayem geneva. So what am I going to gain? What do I gain then by the inclusionary powers that entitle me to include even beyond that which is stated? Well, the rabbah's called over, so I'll end up including everything. All right. Well, let's see. Yomar. So let the Torah write shor v'chamor se ugeneva v'hakol bichlal. That's what you're claiming. That if the Torah would write shor, chamor, and seh, and then I have the word geneva, which is a general expression, I would include everything stolen by a thief, I'll have to pay double. Yeah, but that's not so. Because ilu kach, had the Torah left us with that, ha'yisi oimer ma'prat lefush balei chayim, avko balei chayim. Just like the prat, the examples are all animals. As far as what else am I going to add to that through the general statement which entitles me to include more other animals? So just like the prat is mefurz balei chayim, so too av kol balei chayim, so too any living creature that's stolen, the thief will have to pay double. Ma yesh l'chol lahavi, what are you going to include beyond shor, chamor, and seh? Answer, shar balei chayim, I'll include all living animals. But kishuomer chayim in pasuk gimel. If you look there, look closely, you see the word chayim in that pasuk. Hare chayim amur. So bale chayim amur. So the all realm of living animals is included. So bale chayim are already spelled out. If they're spelled out, and I have at the same time inclusionary powers to include beyond that. What am I going to derive or use or conclude with from the word geneva, which is the general expression entitling me to include more than that which is stated? Well, the rabbah is called over. I'm now able to include even beyond living animals that are stolen. I am able to include, well, we said called over, everything that's portable, that has inherent value. A thief that is caught having committed thievery will have to pay double. So if we were to stop here, we would then say we have a source. We have a source for Ganav being chayav on Kol Dovar, even without having to swear. We're not using a Kal Vachomer from Toyin Tainas Ganav to conclude Ganav Atzmo, but rather we have this, we'll say this Prat Uklal method, where the Torah cites a specific example, and then it goes on to tell me a general word which entitles me to include more. As we said at the opening, unfortunately, what the source was claiming it said, it never said that. It never stated in the source, first the example, the shor, the chamor, the seh, and then the word geneva. That would have been great for our claims here of prat, example, followed by klal, a general, the form of geneva. It's a general expression. Anything that's stolen. But that's not what the Torah actually says. In fact, it's the opposite. The Torah first has the word geneva, the general expression, followed by the specifics, and then the rules, the hermeneutic rules that govern verse analysis don't apply, i.e., enabling me to include so many other things. And I say the opposite is really the case when you have a general expression followed by a specific expression, which is in fact the case over here, where the word geneva precedes the specifics. You're actually very limited in what you can include. You can only include the stated examples and not anything beyond. So we're going to find ourselves back in a problematic position when we, Mirz Hashem, go on with this discussion next time. But in the meantime, before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.